Hey, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Esau Andrews episode. I met Esau through the homies Dave Cho and James Jean. We were all at, this is back in the day, we all went to a barbecue at Sasha Gray's house. And I was tripping just to be there, but I met several artists there, including Aaron Horkey. That barbecue, but my favorite part about his episode was talking about just his Arizona history, because I share the same type of history, because I went to Arizona State in the 90s as well. Well, he didn't go there, but I did. But we have we talked a lot about skateboarding stuff in Arizona and around that time, and art. So yeah, hope you enjoy. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Rover says that this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew and Purple Mattresses. Yeah. Okay, here you go, Kirby. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome artist Esau Andrews. Thanks for coming, my man. I've been wanting you for over a year now, huh?
I'm not playing hard to get.
I'm so glad you showed up.
It'll be okay. Because
you're safe here at the Stevie Weeby Show. There's no malice here. There's no bad energies. But George, do I have to go into this?
Let's give him a chance to relax. Okay.
Well, we'll pay some bills. We have some sponsors, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We have some sponsors. Thank the Lord. Blue Chew. Shout out to Blue Chew. It's a penis pill. Okay?
Is that what it is?
It's a penis pill. I took it the other night. I wish my girlfriend was here. I took it just to see. It was easy. I chewed it. It was fruity. It reminded me of like a Flintstone vitamin. And literally a couple minutes later, I could grab my my sex toy, but bing, I was hard like a rocket, friend. And I normally masturbate just for 15 to 20 to 25 minutes. I think I did it for an hour. And I went on Pornhub. I usually stay on Pornhub, but I went back to X Videos. That's how animalistic the Blue Chew got me. That's how animalistic I felt down here. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go to Granny Cream Pies. I'm gonna go back to my roots on X Videos. So I was like, bing. And then I'll show you what I use. You could just keep your distance. So yeah, the Blue Chew was going in there.
Oh, God. Whoa! Let's go.
So go to Blue Chew. How about this? That was a good commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know where to go. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Stevie, STEEBEE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Stevie, just like the Stevie Weeby Show.
Try it free.
Okay? Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster. And we thank them for sponsoring the Stevie Weeby Show. Round of applause for Blue Chew. Now, back to what's important in front of my eyes right now. We have a very, very talented artist. I trip out on your pieces, man, of art. I don't know how long you spend or how long it took you to get that good, but let's get into it, man. Where are you? You're from Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah. I was born in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. but I moved to Arizona when I was 6 months old.
Tulsa?
Altus.
Mm-hmm. Is that near
I don't know where
Oklahoma
it's at.
State or is it
I
near,
don't know.
Oh, you have no idea.
It's in there.
And then where you moved to Phoenix, you said?
Yeah, Mesa. Okay, East Mesa.
Because my folks are in Gilbert.
Yeah, I'm out
so
there.
So you're in between like Mesa, Chandler, Gilbert.
Or
around. You know what I mean?
Really close to Apache Junction.
Yeah. That's are you close to the Arizona Mills Mall? Or was that around
no,
back then? That's
I'm,
new. Newer.
I'm closer to the Superstition Springs one. The one on, yeah.
And that's why we really kind of connected, because I didn't know that, but once you brought that up, because I spent many, my parents are in Arizona, Gilbert, as we speak, but yep. I went to Arizona State.
Oh, cool.
In the 90s. And I felt like an outcast on campus, and it wasn't until I moved to the dorm on Apache Boulevard, you know mm-hmm. where that is.
Yeah. Wait, how old are you? Are you 40?
I'm in my 40s.
You're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they think I'm 32, so we'll just say I'm 32, okay? Okay. I'm in my 40s. Yeah. Are you up there too?
Or? I'm 40.
There you go. So this is So do you remember Sub Society Skate Shop?
Yes.
See, that's where we used to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Cause my dorm was literally a block away, so it was like Apache Boulevard.
It's like
Rural.
Dorsey,
and, yeah,
and Filiberto's.
Filiberto's, and then a PETA
jungle. Yeah.
Wow. So we have that in common.
Yeah.
So I me and my buddies used to hang. I forgot who the owner was. There was twins that worked. I remember these twins.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Do you remember these twins?
Yes, I do, and I'm being put on the spot.
Yeah, but you remember them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I always was fascinated because every time I went in there, like, either one or two of the twins would be, like, talking about sponsorship. Like, they worked at the skate shop, and they were good, but, like, I think they're, like, just, like, below what you needed to be sponsored. But I could tell they always, like yeah, I mailed my demo or, like, whatever, their, like, VHS tape or to this company. But they had a TV. I don't remember. They had a TV in the back. They let us watch skate videos mm-hmm. and stuff. So did you – how did you get into skateboarding? Or did you go – were you a skater first and got into art?
No, I'd always been doing artwork ever since I was as young as I can remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like, there was nothing else to do out there. There's dirt roads.
Mm-hmm. You know?
There's still no streetlights where my mom lives, where I grew up.
Wow.
I started skateboarding maybe when right out 7th grade.
Yeah, yeah. And then did you, how did you get into that? How did you get into skateboarding to begin with?
Well, there was a friend of mine, Chad Uptain. Mm-hmm. You know, he was really into skateboarding. He was really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I bought one of his hand-me-down boards. It was an 8th Street, Sal Barbier.
Yeah.
And I bought a used one off of him. And I started just walking my skateboard to elementary school.
Started skateboarding.
Some of the roads got paved, and then we'd like trek all the way to Walmart.
We
started skateboarding just street stuff. Mm-hmm. I never got into ramp or anything.
Me neither. Do you remember the Wedge in Scottsdale?
Yeah.
So we have that in common too, because that was one of the first destinations my buddies would take me to. We'd sometimes stop by a place called Sidewalk Surfer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Sandy, who
was on. Yeah. So I remember even before each semester, like before our school, it's like my mom like let me like pick out a couple shirts there, like, and then like take me to the dorm, and that was like my school shopping. But I remember back then there was a you know who the good guys are. And I remember Scotty Kopelman and Eric Ellington were there. And I remember me and my homies were just, you know, because before the skate park, there's a skate park there now, right?
Right.
But when we were there, it was just literally, it was like an incline, right?
Yeah.
It was just like under the bridge, and it was like a bank, flat bank.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty high, the top of the bank, yeah. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was hanging out with my friends because, they would put a trash can on top of the bank, mm-hmm. sideways, and my friends would like back 180 it or like do ollie over it. But I remember Kopelman and all those guys were there, and we would just watch them. And I remember Eric Ellington from the top ollied from the top of it to the very bottom. Mm-hmm. And me, and then that was like, that's when I knew, like, oh, these guys are really good.
Yeah, you know.
Because we would never try that.
If those guys were there, then I was probably there too. Because that's...
You might have been there
that's
then.
That's who I hung out with every day.
So that was your crew.
That was the crew.
So that was the crew. We were afraid of you guys.
Yeah, that was the crew.
Because even back then, a lot of people don't know this, but Scotty Kopelman was the best.
Sure, yeah.
Like back then, everyone was scared of him.
He got on blind.
Yeah.
For like a short
time. He was the best, at least in that area in Arizona. Like at all the places, people would just sit and watch him. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, there he is.
There he is.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been so long. Was it a Turtle Skateboards before Balance?
Yes, Turtle was before, yeah.
And now you hung out with those guys?
Yeah.
How did you meet those guys?
Well, through that guy, Chad Uptain, he introduced me to Eric Ellington when I was maybe like, gosh, I must have been like 14 or 15.
Jeez. Yeah.
And and then we just all hung out all the time. Mm-hmm. And there was like Shane Heil and...
I forgot.
Later on.
He lived there too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so crazy because all the people that you mentioned are like... They have their own brands out now.
Yeah, it's great.
Shake Junt.
It's great,
Baker, Deathwish, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, do you trip out on that? Like, because you knew them when you were a kid. Like,
yeah. We all skateboarded. We, rode for skate shops. And out of the bunch, you know, those three guys were the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved on. They moved to California and...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a time when we all we skated for this skate shop called Cutting Edge in Mesa. It was across the street from Fiesta Mall.
Okay, I know where Fiesta Mall is. I know where that is. I don't think I've ever been there.
Yeah.
But
I was okay at during that time.
Yeah. I was just learning stuff. Like I remember I learned how to kickflip in Arizona at what's the mall in Scottsdale, like where it starts getting nicer?
Fashion Square.
Mm-hmm. So we used to skateboard. There was a parking structure down there. Mm-hmm. And I remember we used to go there.
Yeah.
And my friends wouldn't let me go until I landed it. And they just go, just stay over it. And then
friends.
I remember it was like the best feeling in the world. I'm like,
Yeah.
But the guys I met, like, they were not from Arizona. They were from, like, Texas because I met them in the dorms.
Okay.
And one of them, my Native American homie, Dustin, he currently has his own skateboarding company, and it's, like, Apache Junction-based, Arizona-based. It's a Native company.
Okay.
It's called, like, Four Wheel Pony or something like that.
Okay.
So I wanted to, I'm going to holler at you, Dustin, because I wanted to do, like, a documentary. Cause it's like a smaller company and he needs, exposure and it's for a good cause and stuff. But, there was another skate shop on Mill Avenue heading towards Van Buren
Precinct
It was Precinct.
Was it Precinct or yeah.
No. Was there another Precinct in, off of Alma School?
Yeah. In like Guadalupe. Yeah, it was called Pants Man, and then it turned into Precinct.
Precinct. Yeah. And the one in Chandler was smaller. It was like a smaller store, I think, because my parents had a clothing store right next door.
Oh, cool.
So I mean, there's a walk down memory lane, but I remember working at, you know, Changes, my mom and dad's clothing store, and they had a demo, and I had to work because I was like, you know, my parents didn't have employees at the time, but I remember I had they set up ramps and stuff in that parking lot,
right?
And so I remember like I went in there and like I skated for a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. I was around there a lot too. Yeah, your parents owned a clothing store in that plaza?
Yes.
Because I remember there was like a thrift, not a thrift store. It was almost like a Ross or something.
Yeah, it was a Ross.
Okay. Because
it was exactly a Ross.
That was the time when like everybody was like, we need to get those shell toes, Adidas shoes, and you could still get them for really cheap there. And it was right after like the Plan B video.
Yeah, there was a Ross.
Like Beastie Boys, we need the shell toes.
Yeah, for sure. They blew that up on So What You Want and all that. There was a Ross, a Burger King, a Chinese restaurant, and then there was a smoothie place. Mm. But yeah, man. And then there was a Fry's, you know, Fry's grocery store.
Yes.
Well, I just loved, I don't know why. I mean, people probably don't. I love talking about Arizona for some reason.
Hey, you know, there's the community in Arizona, the skateboard community, they're all, it's huge.
It's thriving now.
And all like the people from back then are still skating and their kids are skating, so it's a big thing. So if any of them are hearing this, they'll be like, oh yeah, the Wedge.
No. So when I go, because my parents are in Gilbert, they're kind of near I don't want to say the street, but they're near Freestone Skate Park. Okay. So I go there. When I go there, the kids just they're ripping.
Everybody's so good.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, these kids are just, they're like on some other level, like from the out the gate.
Yeah, this Instagram is the best format for it. I mean, I'm just like scrolling through, like I don't understand.
I mean, they're flying everywhere. These kids are doing street and they're doing vert,
kids
flying
are like
around.
You don't even know, you know, it's like, not even sponsored.
So what are your thoughts on that, like the progression of that, like... Isn't it kind of weird to see, like, how it's like...
It is a little weird.
It's like almost like they're like super robots or something.
Yeah, everybody can do a flip trick out of...
anything.
Anything. Yeah, anything. Yeah. In a line, you know.
Yeah. It's just mind-boggling, yeah. And I see it. I still, you know, my board's there. I still push around, but I don't, like, I just use it mostly just to go to 7-Eleven or... You know, to get groceries or whatever.
I just built a fun box the other day with metal coping.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Just
let's talk about that. Like, how'd you learn how to do that?
Here, before we get into that, let's go to.
Okay, everybody, we have our
purple.
We're gonna switch out your XLR while we do the ad, since there's a little bit of cracking in the mic, but.
Okay.
You can do the ad. Who are we excited for today?
We are so excited for Purple Mattresses. Okay, I've had mine for a couple weeks now, and I haven't slept any better. Do I look like I'm well rested, George?
You're looking.
Is there any black blotches?
Now, Steve, usually
it's like I'm reverse aging. I'm a certain age, but I look. I'm
good, Reed, Steve. So I get one of these too.
Okay, so. Purple Mattresses, you won't get a better night's rest. I had an IKEA mattress, and it was like sleeping on stone. This thing, I mean, you're sitting on it. Are you comfortable right now?
Absolutely. Incredible.
It's like your butt's infusing into the mattress as we speak. Right, Jason?
I can't believe it.
You can't believe it, can you? You can't even believe it. I know, you might fall asleep. So, there's a promotion going on right now. It's 100... night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. What do you think about that, Esau? Not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Backed up by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, free in-home setup, and old mattress removal. You're going to love Purple Mattresses. And right now, our listeners will get a free purple pillow. They're going to throw a pillow in there. With the purchase of a mattress.
Let's make sure they know it's pillow. I heard a little.
A pillow.
Pillow, yes.
You get a free pillow.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That's in addition to the great free gifts.
You pronounced it the same way last time, just making sure.
Yeah. Pillow.
P-I-L-L-O-W.
Pillow.
Okay.
A good pillow. That's
in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text DB.
More?
Yeah, just text DB 474747.
24747, that's it.
Just text DB to, not the number, T-O, 474747. The only way to get this free pillow is to text DB to 474747. That's STEEBEE 474747. What are you laughing at, George?
You gave me a look.
I know. I love you. I got love for you, you and Bryce and Jason and you. Let's get back. You know what? I want to, let's get into the, because your art is mine. It blows my mind. How many hours were you putting in? How much work were you putting in Arizona? Like, how many hours a day were you painting or drawing?
You know, that's a good question.
Thank you. Because
it was,
thank you.
It was like a weird thing when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had this whole setup where I was, let's see. So I had my schedule set up to where this was, I guess, my junior and senior year,
mm-hmm,
or maybe
mm-hmm.
it was just my senior year, whatever. So my first, second, and third period, I would do all my homework at lunch. And then I set up so I had my art class my last period mm-hmm. of the day. And so my fourth and fifth period, I would do the homework in art class so I could just go home and do artwork overnight. And I kind of arranged it with my teacher. And then, you know, we had these like art college portfolio things. It's like, oh, you have to have like 10 to 14, you know, color slides of your work. Mm. And by the end of that time, I had maybe like, I don't know, 80 or 90 like paintings and sculptures. And
sculptures too?
Yeah, I did some stuff.
What
and
do you think about that, Jason?
And I was obsessed. And when I look back on it, I'm like, you know, that is a weird thing. That's not normal. And
where is a reference point? Like, where does one start? Like, did you learn how to draw with pencil first, or like pens like this? When did you get into watercolor? Like, how do you learn this stuff? Acrylic paint? Like, how does this happen?
So my dad was an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
And on an Indian reservation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a town called Sacatone. Mm-hmm. And
is that near White River?
It's near Eloy. It's just south of Phoenix.
Okay.
And so we had this like shed in the backyard. And so you would just have all sorts of craft supplies. I mean, that's what I grew up around. Just
crafts.
Just like a huge shed full of craft supplies.
How would you define crafts? Give us an example.
The wooden, like, you know, like dowels and like little motors and, you know, a lot of like wood shapes mm-hmm. and glue guns, glue mm-hmm, sticks, mm-hmm. markers, and a lot of like picture books and activity books, like a ton of them. And I think that was like a real outlier for a kid to have.
Yeah,
nothing else
to
do except like kind of absorb all this stuff. And so early on, I was me mostly just like building stuff and doing like kid stuff.
Mm-hmm,
and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
until I was kind of in high school that I started like drawing and painting. My brother made model airplanes, and so he had all these like enamel paints.
Oh, that's cool.
Those like testers, you know, those little square enamel paints, almost like nail polish.
You would just take those?
So yeah, like when he was 6 years older than me, so around that time, like he wasn't using them anymore. So I just kind of adopted them, used them as like real paint.
And so
that was kind of. And it's the worst stuff to paint with.
Why is that?
Because it's like if you can imagine painting with like nail polish and trying to blend
it's made for
like covering section.
So how many hours a day? You mentioned previously you worked overnight on a school night, like on school nights?
On school nights, yeah. You know, I would just like
that's what
work.
It takes, huh?
I don't know.
It kind of is.
In my situation, I needed the extra hours, you know.
Yeah, and then does art class help, or is it seems to me you're self-taught almost, right?
No, I think that like figure drawing and being pushed by your peers, like, you know, I when I went to School of Visual Arts, all the people that I met there, all the students and everything, I mean, everybody was just pushing everyone else, like kind of that, like, whatever, steel sharpens steel kind of thing. So everybody was like trying to...
So I think improve. That's good.
Yeah.
And so what happened after high school? Did you go to art college or something?
Yeah, I went to
or?
School of Visual Arts.
Where?
In
where
New at? York.
Oh, you went to New York.
Yeah. And that's where I met James.
James Jean.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So we're our classmates throughout school.
So what was it like from Arizona going... That must have been a huge cultural shift.
I'd never been on the East Coast. I didn't know anybody. And I remember getting dropped off, and one of my half sisters and her husband picked me up from the airport, and they dropped me off at the dorms, in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And there was that show called Dream on HBO. Do you remember this show?
Do you remember this show, guys? Dream On. What year was this?
It was in the early 90s.
I don't remember, man.
Well, when I was a kid, I would watch it sometimes. But anyways, like the sound, it was took place in Manhattan, and that soundtrack of that movie, television show, it always, you know, like played in my head for years.
Yeah.
Whenever to like step out into the Big Apple kind of
thing. Yeah. Hey, were you around when they filmed Kids?
I mean, I was around, but I mean, I wasn't part of that scene.
Okay, right. I was just wondering, you know.
Yeah.
Because did you... So you went to art school. You met James Jean, who did that, and then James did that, and then did you guys get along right away or?
He was a year younger than me, and we were just all like part of this group. There's a lot of like painters that were also, and there was a lot of people that were into comic books, and there was this. Good group of us, and we didn't have many of the same classes together, but
right
outside of class we hung out a lot.
And then when did you take that to like your career net, like how does that work, like is there, you finish college there, then you have a portfolio of your work?
Yeah,
and
we were, yeah,
you submit it somewhere.
I was working on a portfolio, but I got a job doing kind of like working at a kid's website while I was still in college. It was called Alfie.com, and it was an educational site for kids. And all of us were there. James was there. This guy, Tomer Hanukkah, he's the one who got us all the job. This guy, Mupan. Gosh, who else? And we were all just, we were working on the computer, and we were kind of learning on the job because I was still a little like, early enough to where computers weren't the main thing, but like by the time we graduated, it was all a .com boom.
So I kind of had
a lucky break by just kind of being hired as an illustrator, but being taught how to use a computer while at work.
Yeah.
So I kind of started becoming like a Flash programmer.
Oh, that's great.
So I was doing just interactive, like really simple interactive, like cartoons for kids.
Yeah. Websites also, or?
It was for a website, but they were like activities within this bigger website.
Yeah.
And so I was doing that. And then I went to night school, and then I worked at galleries, and I worked at Utrecht Art Supply.
So you worked at art supply places as well?
I worked at a gallery.
The trajectory from that, like to where you're at, like how did you get to where you're at now? Like from all of that, doing all that work and.
Oh,
like as far as getting your own art show or.
So I started, I remember there was this place called, man, there's so many like different aspects. There was the aspect of like, there was this coffee shop that opened up across the street when I lived in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Called Supercore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a weird name, but like they opened up, and I remember it was the day their grand opening, I think was the day before, the day after the whole World Trade Center thing.
Oh,
and
not,
so everyone was
what,
like
9/11?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, damn.
And so like
you're around?
Oh, yeah. I was there.
You were around during 9/11?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, we thought.
Do you remember like let's talk. I had no idea. Let's talk 9/11. About that day. Like where were you the day that this happened?
So that .com place, that Alfie.com place, like I had gotten laid off earlier that year. Mm-hmm. But my roommate still worked there, and it was directly across the street from the Trinity Church, right there at the World Trade Center site. So, I'm just like sleeping that morning, and a friend of mine who lived in Chinatown, which is also very close to World Trade Center, called me and says like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Just turn on your TV." Turn on the TV, and then the first tower had already fallen down. And I was like, "Oh my God!" And so I went to the stairwell. And, you know, we were just watching from the stairwell, and then I saw the second one fall. And I didn't know what was going on at that point because I'd just woken up. Yeah. So I thought that I just saw like 50,000 people just like, I didn't know how long like everything was going on. So that's, you know, so we were all trying to like learn what was going on. I remember that on the news, they were saying that there were all these missing planes, and there was like maybe like 7 of them that were like missing. So we were just like glued to the television like everybody else. And I was trying to call my roommate, and he was just one of those
horrible day, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Do
crazy.
You guys remember that day?
Yeah,
I was in Silver Lake. I was living on Bob's couch, my brother's couch, and then I was sleeping like you, and then my Skater was living with me. He was actually sponsored by Toy Machine, Larry Blossom. He goes, "Hey," he like woke me up, and he was like, "We're under attack." Yeah. And I go, "What?" And then the same thing. He turned on the TV and I was tripping. It was like almost like an outer body experience. Like I couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah.
So, but you were actually there, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of crazy to think of like how massive the whole like smoke, like the buildings ruins
were. Did you smell it in the debris?
You could smell it, but like, you know, like I remember just at nighttime underneath all the street lamps, you could just see like these triangle, like orange from the light because of that like orangish just stuff. For like a month afterwards, like it was like really bad, you know?
Yeah.
If you lived in Manhattan or like, you know, the southern part, like of course you're going to get like, you know, breathing problems. Like it lasted for a really long time.
Yeah. And then did you watch Michael Moore's documentary Fahrenheit 9/11? So I was kind of like tripping just watching that, like as far as like the way the buildings look like a demolition and how it was like inside. It just kind of confused me.
Yeah, like, that stuff is
because the way it went down, you said the building went down like a demolition, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And usually, like they would, like if it hit from the, I don't know,
I don't know if there's
what do you think, George?
I think you've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, Steve.
I just can't believe you're there, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, let's get back. Let's go positive now. I'm sorry. That just that
it's
blew
comedy
my mind.
Podcast,
that blew,
right?
That, yeah, no, that blew my
tell
mind.
Tell us more about the conspiracies.
Yeah,
like,
no. We can get off the conspiracies. So you start showing your work.
Oh yeah, yeah. So back to
the
coffee shop.
Okay,
so I went in there, you know, and like everybody's like not doing anything.
Yeah, I went back.
No,
we,
nobody
we went back
to
the coffee shop.
I think this is the first time you had a better memory of where we were than me.
Yeah,
dude, it's the purple. I'm just telling you, hold up, it's the purple mattress.
Holy Jesus!
It's a goddamn purple mattress because I've been getting 12 hours of sleep, and I'm sharp. Right now. That's why. No, because normally, when my girl's talking to me or my brother's talking to me, I have a problem listening. But you just said, I remember where we're at, right? In the timeline.
Yeah.
And I brought you back to the coffee shop, friend.
Yeah.
So coffee shop.
So that was what was going on across the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my little world, you know, I went into this coffee shop. They just opened. It's just like a Japanese coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And
what's your ethnicity?
Mom's from Okinawa.
There you go, man. So you're half Japanese?
Yeah.
That's what's up. Okay.
Yeah.
I always wondered that. I should have asked it along when I first met you. Because we were at Sasha Gray's. They had a barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
And you were there, too.
Yeah.
You, Aaron Horky, James, and Dave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But go back to the coffee shop.
Yeah. So I went in there and just asked if they needed artwork in the place, you know. And, and they were cool with it, and so I had a bunch of artwork up there.
Were they tripping when they saw your style?
You know, it was early on where
I want to see some examples. I'm going to show they need to see the stuff you've done. It'll blow their minds.
No.
But keep going. I mean, don't be so modest.
So it was early days where I was just doing like just very like cartoony portraits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know they were on that main street, and then you know just a handful of years later, like that Williamsburg Bedford Avenue was just a main street. And the exposure I got just from showing at the coffee shop was
immense.
Yeah, it was great, you know. And
you know what? I like that.
And I think that's you know, more people see art in a coffee shop than at a gallery, you know.
Maybe say it into the camera one more time. Because there might be some art students watching this, and they they look at you as a god, art god. Come on, man.
More people drink coffee than go to galleries.
Have you heard that, like, from other friends? I haven't, like, thought of, like, how big coffee shops could be, actually.
Yeah, you know, I guess everybody looks kind of down on them, but, like, at that time, I was just like, I just want people to see the stuff. Mm-hmm. And
so you didn't want, it wasn't financially motivated.
It was just
exposure motivated.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then.
But did you sell?
Yeah. I ended up selling all of it.
Back then, I mean, was that the first moment where you sold your art and you're like, oh my God, people bought my art?
Yeah. You know, there was this guy, Scott Mosier.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? He's like a producer. He did like Mallrats or Chasing Amy.
He's
a producer for those movies and some other things. Yeah, yeah. But I guess he lived in the area and I think he bought like six or seven of them from that in one go.
He didn't even know who you were.
No.
He just liked.
Well, I wasn't anybody.
He liked your style.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I thought that was really cool because, I mean, I was selling them for like, you know, somewhere were like $100, $200.
Did they look cheap like this? Were they that size? Like these prints?
No, most of them were bigger. They were pretty big. Oil paintings. Yeah.
They're oil paintings.
Yeah. It's like,
so how much for an oil painting back then?
Yeah, like $200, $300 tops, you know.
But he sold a few of them.
Yeah, that's
so you made it like a couple thousand, maybe? Like a G, two Gs?
Or... Maybe one, yeah.
But, you know. Dude, but that's cool.
But that's cool, you know?
That's cool back then. It's a coffee shop. You didn't have no expectations.
Yeah.
So when that moment happened, and you realize light bulb went off and you're like, oh, people bought my art. Did that give you like more drive?
Yeah. It was really cool. And I would put new stuff in there.
Yeah.
And, me and James actually had like a show at the coffee shop and we both like just kind of did a big showcase.
You told James about it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
And, you know, and he was already really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he sold a couple pieces, but his prices were expensive.
So it could start at a coffee shop for a lot of these art students.
Yeah, you know, and so at the same
Jason,
time...
Jason, we need you to tune back in. Jason's tuned out. Okay.
The other part was Williamsburg, Brooklyn was also like becoming that like hipster music neighborhood.
Oh.
You know, you've heard of Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Yeah. What groups came out of there?
The Yeah Yeah Yeahs. TV on the Radio. So I was asking, a lot of music people were in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so I was just trying to like, hey, you know, do you need a flyer? Or, and there was a lot of like bars that were having like nights where they were like DJing. I was like, hey, do you need flyers?
So you talked to the band,
not those guys specifically.
Oh, but the promoters maybe?
But yeah, I was just trying to like, well, what's another way that I could get my work, you know, out into the
yeah,
world?
Yeah, this
like
interesting
little posters in the street. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing that kind of stuff. And then, just a lot of like weird, odd jobs like that. Mm-hmm. I did skateboard designs for a long time because you probably saw a lot of them.
Can we, let's look that up real quick.
I did Eric's first board for Zero.
You did?
When I was like 19 or something.
Okay, how do I, Andrews?
No, that's it, esau.net or whatever.
Is this it?
That looks like it.
And will stuff be on here?
Let's see the skateboard pieces,
my friend.
I don't know. I think it might be in projects.
Wow.
I did a lot of boards, but... Yeah.
Oh, skateboards. It's right there. So, you did those?
Here, let's go start from the
bottom. Yeah, let's start from the bottom. You did Baker boards?
I did, like, almost all of them for, like, 5 years.
Damn, you did Baker boards.
For a time, like, I was the regular guy for, like, 5 years.
Wow. So which one was the first one you did?
Well, the first one. Oh,
Jeff's. A Maldonado.
Yeah, it might have been that Dustin Dolan one. I don't remember.
Oh,
wow,
that's
but...
sick. Oh, that's from The Cure.
Yeah, yeah. So these are like some of them, but I probably did
like
100 designs.
Hey, don't breeze past them. Let's take a look at each one. Come on, let's look at this. This is your work. Dude, this is, for me personally, this is so cool. Look at that. Beautiful. It's like a homage to Guns N' Roses. You got the Metallica one. Is that which one is that? Rolling Stones?
No, that's also Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Guns N' Roses. Yeah. The Cure, Standing on the Beach. Dude, are you getting this? So these are the first ones, right?
Yeah, these are just a selected few. Like, I did a lot of them. These, like, a lot of it's really embarrassing because it's so early stuff.
No, it's not embarrassing. It's cool, but, cool as hell to me.
But I think that, like, so much time's passed, so it's like, oh, that is cool to be, you know.
So
to
you
be part
started
of that.
At 2002? I mean, you did this in 2002.
Yeah.
And then you kept going 2007, 2006, 2004. I mean, this is great.
Yeah, they're not in chronological order.
They're not
order,
in chronological. Okay, this is my next question. How did you come up with these designs, man? I love that.
You know, a
dude,
lot of
that is dope. The cowboy, like, what is? How'd you come up with that idea?
A lot of the Baker stuff, the writers had an idea. Like, wow. Dustin Dolan always had a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people were more, you know, it's like, oh, Jeff Flanossi. It's like, everything has to be about weed, you know.
Yeah,
like, so
yeah,
some of them
yeah,
were like
yeah,
loose
yeah.
guidelines.
And then there's a guy obviously who loves Super Mario, because you had a previous yeah. Super Mario one, Luigi, oh. and then
yeah.
And well, you just you've done several, dude. It just keeps going. Jim Greco. Yeah. I want to go back to that because you have a pretty well known boat piece too, right? I've seen it before. A boat like that's flying almost, right? Terry Kennedy.
Yeah.
TK's board, Jeff Lenoci, Andrew Reynolds' board. God, like, how do you, like, how long does it take you to do one design? I'm personally curious because I always wondered that.
Oh, man, it's all over the place, but, like, it, you know, nothing.
Do you do it on a piece of paper? They scan it? Like, where do you do it on?
Oh,
like,
okay. So, yeah, for these ones, I would, I would do a drawing,
yeah.
and then I would either scan the drawing and then redraw it over it in this program called Flash.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Because like, it was all because that program had good drawing tools for. That's what I learned at that website company, mm-hmm, which is mm-hmm. you know, and so it's made for like interactive vector cartoons.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I thought that the drawing tools were better than Illustrator. Anyways, mm-hmm. like. So I would just draw and color separate everything in that, and then.
God, you're really detailed. Like, when did you learn? I mean, this is. I'm personally curious. How did you learn to get so detailed, like the shading and all this stuff? Like,
you can zoom in on computers.
You just boom. Oh, it just keeps going.
And those ones
God,
are
this
silk screen.
Beautiful. Have you seen these? That's you. That looks like a picture.
Yeah, those are like paintings, you know. That
you
the other
painted
ones are
that?
The other ones are silk screened,
yeah.
and then these ones are like just printouts, you know, like
are
you'd seen like a magazine.
I mean, yeah. are some of these are going to be reissued, or like, how does one get one of these beautiful skateboards?
I think you could probably, some of these ones are probably still lingering. You could probably just buy them online somewhere,
this
I think.
One, like these two, maybe?
Maybe.
God, dude, good for you. That's amazing, man. That blows
my
mind. Can we,
so that's
can
some
you,
of them.
Let's,
yeah.
How about we do this? This is just, I just thought of this idea. You go, I love the skateboarding thing, but go on to something else. I want to talk about another piece that you've done, and we'll talk about the process. Or
All right.
Like, yeah, this is interesting to me. This is good stuff, huh? Like, because people, they could visually, and then you zoomed on that, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So these are just categories?
I've seen that one. That's that one's crazy. They're all just, I mean...
So,
how long does it take to for one art student to get this good?
Yeah, I don't think that long. Just a couple years.
You're staying up all night. Doing all-nighters in high school, dude. Come on.
You know, I forced it to happen. But, yeah. I mean, you know, you look around, like, there's a lot of young people that are just, you know, you just need, like, a handful of years of just dedication, and you can be super good at it.
Do you need a
couple years? Just a couple years.
Just, like, go ahead. Tell the art students how many years. 5 years? 7 years?
Tops. 3 years.
But that's 15 hours a day or something, right?
Not necessarily, but yeah. You know, you just got to be obsessed.
Do you have to sacrifice another aspect of your life? Let's say, like, if you have a vast social life, I mean, do you have to kind of put that aside and be like, you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to play video games. I'm going to work on this tonight. Do you need that kind of quality? Because I'm guessing you probably do, right? Look at this. Oh, my goodness. Man, do you do tattoos, man?
No.
I would love, because I want to get another piece here. I would love to, if you could design something, I would get a tattoo of your art, man.
You know? All right.
No one's gotten tattoos of your stuff?
A couple people, sure.
Really? Is it online?
Yeah, you can probably just do a Google. Oh, my God.
Let's see that. You want to let's check that out? Oh, no, is that spelled? Is that right? E-S-A-O.
Let's give a little something to the audio listeners, too, Steve.
Yeah, okay, so.
Can't forget about the folks who are listening.
Okay, so I'm talking about, I just came up with the images of tattoos. See, dude, look at that's your art. Put it full screen. This is art that Esau Andrews has done where people have got it tattooed. Permanently tattooed onto their body.
Yeah, it's really, really incredible.
And this is not a small piece.
Well, no. Describe it, dude. There's some.
Okay, describe it. Okay, this is a big. This is a big Caucasian man.
Yep.
The back of it, I'm guessing his calf muscle, right?
Yeah.
So it's covering. It's one of Esau's house pieces. Where it's a cool house with like a dirt road that goes down, and it looks like maybe a 5-room house with two chimney things there that are like smoking, and it's covering all of his calf muscle.
Yeah,
the crazy. Entire thing.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Because
this thing's on him. Forever.
Yeah, it makes me feel really good.
Do they reach out to you?
Yeah.
So, okay, so before they get the tattoo, what do they say in their direct message or their email?
Well, I would say about 90% of the people that get tattoos found out about my work through this band Circa Survive.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I heard that. Yeah, what kind of music is it?
It's just like indie rock.
Okay, cool.
So I've been doing their album covers for the past like 12 or 13 years.
How much for an album? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's all over the place. But you
get compensated, right?
Yeah.
Is it one flat fee?
Yeah.
Okay. And then are they flexible? You could just, I mean, you go high, they go low, you meet them in the middle.
I've been just usually just good with whatever. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a special relationship that I have with them. I've been working with them for so long on like just kind of a good faith basis and the amount of like people that they've brought towards my work.
That's amazing, dude. So when these people are about to permanently get ink of your work, do they say, "Hey man, just want to let you know I'm getting this tattoo. I love this piece." Like, how do you respond to that? Like,
I say
thanks, dude.
Yeah, send me a pic if you really get it.
Yeah,
I'll say stuff.
And
like
so
that.
You have seen this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there another one?
Yeah, there's a couple of them out there that are full back pieces, which are really crazy.
Wait. Is this one of yours? Oh my goodness.
That's a pretty.
It's another Caucasian guy. And this is full color. Oh my goodness. Okay, so for those of you listening, it's basically message in a bottle, bottle in the ocean, beautiful sun in the background, purple kind of red skies. Inside the bottle is going back to one of his signature houses. But let me tell you, this is bigger than the last piece. It's covering his left chest, his pectoral muscle, all the way covering his entire left shoulder, upper part of his left shoulder. How do you feel about that? That's a lot of ink.
It is.
That took a lot. That he went through a lot of pain. I'm just letting you know, this is your art. He went through a lot of pain.
Yeah, I think getting it's really your cool. Art. I think it's really cool.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good.
Honored?
Yeah, honored. Yeah.
Wow. I want to see the full-on back piece.
They're out there.
Wait, do you know where it is? Is
I
this?
Don't know.
Wait, hold up.
This is just, you just did a Google
image. Is this you?
Image. That's me too, yeah.
Okay,
that's
so this
a pretty big one.
This
look
is a
that.
Big one.
Oh my God.
Okay. Another.
I've never seen that one before.
Yeah.
I don't think.
It might be an Asian guy. It might be Asian. It might not be a cock. It might be an Asian guy. What is you in with the boats, man?
You know,
cuz this is another boat one.
People like boats. But you know, I think that, you know, if you're looking through my artwork, a lot of it's very escapism kind of stuff.
I love it.
I grew up in the desert.
I love it.
There's no boats.
Yeah, there's no boats.
It's a romanticized idea.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know anything about boats. Boats.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me, I just got this image of, have you seen Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. Remember the picture in Robin Williams? It's the guy in the boat in the middle of the ocean by himself with the oars and stuff. Okay, so this one's covering basically his whole back, or at least the top left upper portion of his back. And it's one of your signature boats. It's black with orange, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Orange and yellow. And then again, it's that's your art on another. It's a person's body.
Yeah, there's people out there that have them.
I mean, how would you? I'm just gonna throw this out there to Jason and George. Let's say if we go back to San Diego and they're willing to do another piece, would you get one of Esau's pieces on your body? I already told you I would. I kind of want a boat now. I mean, not that big, but a boat that will cover like my left bicep. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Oh, you said. So he just did a motion all the way up to my shoulder blade. I meant so just a, like just covering this area, just like the immediate outer bicep area. Jason, would you consider it?
I don't think you should get it.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Your art's great. Absolutely. Can we just? This is so fun for me personally. Okay. This.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute.
Stop.
This
no
is the
more.
Last one. This is the last one. This is like my favorite thing. Wait, where is it?
They just keep getting bigger.
They keep getting bigger and bigger. Okay, I don't know why. How do I get back on here?
I'm sweating.
Why are you sweating? That's humility talk. It's your humility.
No, I'm just, you know.
Well, how do I get back here?
I don't know.
Okay, but weren't we... Is this one of yours too? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Okay, so here we are. So this is on his right pectoral.
That is an album cover.
Okay, what is this album cover? We're looking at album cover for what group?
That band, Circa Survive.
Circa Survive?
Yeah.
And
how do you spell Circa?
C-I-R-C-A.
That's correct.
Okay, it's like Circa Skate.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's basically the whole album cover. It's covering his whole right pectoral all the way to his right shoulder, and it seems like it's going further down close to his, maybe even his elbow. I just can't see that.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's amazing.
So that in itself, the evidence is there. They're willing to sit through gruesome pain for your art, to get your art permanently forever on a large portion of their body. Have you had anyone do a full, like, their whole body is your art?
Yeah, I know of like maybe two or three. Yeah, it's really crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really like
do you feel somewhat I mean, how does that make, I mean, this is one thing, but your whole goddamn body?
Yeah, it's weird in a sense that like it's a translation. Like, you know, it's like on a soft skin, another artist is doing it. So things get changed. And so that it does get a little weird sometimes.
It gets a little weird. And those messages are a little bit different than the ordinary messages. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Because they're saying, listen, dude, I'm paying $50,000 for this to do my whole body of your art.
Yeah.
And then how do you respond to that? Do you like... You have to leave an emoji for that, right? Like, you have to leave this one. You have to at least leave like five of those in a row. Like the.
Yeah.
Thank you. I would trip out more if it was like face tattoos.
Oh, I've never
seen
one.
Like a dude with a boat like in the middle of their forehead.
Somebody out there, I want to see it.
Okay, so whoever's watching.
No,
and you decide to get one of Esau's infamous signature beautiful boats on their forehead, tag us or hit us up on Instagram and tag us and we'll post it somewhere. Fair enough.
Yeah,
this is probably my favorite part of the whole interview, because I had no idea that people did this. I could do this for five hours.
It's insane.
I will stop, but hold up, after this. Jeez. Okay, let me just describe one more. I don't know what body part that is.
Give me a first guess. Give me a guess quick, right now.
It looks like I think it's his shoulder. It's his shoulder, but this is full color. Is that an air balloon infused with a woman in a red dress over an ocean? I don't know. Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And it goes down with flames towards the bottom, the base of the balloon, that literally infuses into the head of a woman wearing a red dress with, I think, heels, right over the ocean. How do you feel about that, brother?
That one's been tattooed on people more than any other piece I've ever
done. So this is your famous...
That's the one. That's the one.
Can I ask you this question now? Why that one?
Because that one is also an album cover by the same band.
Circa.
And it's there.
It's a Circa cover.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, let's see the little like thumbnails. Yeah. Those are all different ones.
Oh, so these are all, there's another one.
Yeah, it's all.
Oh my God. There's different versions of it.
Yeah, there's another one. There's some different versions of it, yeah.
There's another one. There's another one. It just keeps going. Dude, you're like a Greek god. You know what that's saying to you? They're like bowing down. They're like, we love your art, man.
It's overwhelming.
Did your parents know about this?
No.
How would they respond to this? People getting full color tattoos. And these aren't small pieces.
They're not small.
They're covering their... Right, Jason? These are huge pieces. And these are just the balloons.
Yeah.
So we gotta shout out. What's the name of the band? Circa.
Circa Survive. Thank you.
Circa Survive.
And
just,
fans.
They
have the best fans.
So
they have the best fans.
It's the Circa Survive fans.
Yeah.
But they have to know you did the artwork, right? They're about to get this done on their
body. I think the majority of them do.
Okay.
You know? So it's been great. I don't think that's a normal
crazy thing,
you know.
Yeah. Would you look at? I mean, you probably don't need to do this because your profession is doing art. But have you ever thought about going into a different profession, such as tattooing your art on? Like, because they're getting it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But what if they're like, no, we want the original artist to tattoo me?
You know,
would you learn how to do that?
You know, I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
You know, but getting art direction from other people, like I feel like I've kind of skimmed through life, being able to kind of do the stuff that I want to do, and I just know that like if it's heavily art directed, like can you do like a yin and yang sign with wings, and
people have asked,
stuff like something like that, like I would feel really like, I don't want to do this. This is a very work, you know.
Yeah.
So the people that do tattoos, I mean, that's like
that's something else.
They have a really like different mindset, and it's really like I'm envious of it. So they're just like, I'm going to do the best work I can with, you know, whatever idea they throw at me.
Right,
I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I just don't. My ego's too big. I feel like I would struggle with like doing other people's ideas.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So okay, it's just preference.
Yeah. But I would like to learn just to know.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting, man.
Yeah.
It'd be a challenge, I think. You know, because it's a different medium for you. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you do watercolors as well, or?
No.
Dave Cho. Shout out to Dave. That's my favorite thing of his, is his beautiful watercolors.
You know, I really like his,
when we went to Big Bear to record the Monchi album, we stopped by Kmart, and literally the Kmart water, he just grabbed one of those, and we went back to, he rented out a cabin for all of us, and we were recording, and he was in the kitchen that night, and he was coming up with the coolest stuff. And I'm like, and I thought he did it with like pens, but he's like, he had a cup full of water and watercolors. And he's like, no, I just did it with this.
Did you see that one painting he did? And I think it was from like one of those like 99 cent store brooms. And it was like a reclining nude. It was just all black.
I don't know if I saw that one. That at the Cho Show?
So simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
How did you meet? Speaking of Dave, shout out to the Choaster. How did you meet Dave Cho?
Through James.
So how many years ago was that?
Maybe 2007 or 8, something like that. When James had a show at Jonathan Levine Gallery.
And you guys got along right away?
We didn't not get along, but, you know, I was acquainted with them
back then. Yeah. It was good seeing you at Soup Plantation, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had a good time that night. How'd you meet Aaron Horkey?
We had a show together, and I guess I met him at this gallery called Think Space. We had a show, and it was kind of his idea for the show. And
shout out to Aaron, by the way.
Oh man,
yeah, that's the homie right there.
Yeah,
Minnesota all the way, baby.
Yeah, are you?
No, I lived there briefly when we were kids. Yeah, but I know he's from there. So
yeah, he's so talented, but also just like super
detailed. Like you, all nice of you guy. Guys are super like super
nice
detailed,
guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah,
but I met him right before that, like years and years ago. I did. I feel like I might have been Juxtapose. I did a little interview, and shouted him out because I was
so
like,
explain to the viewers, these kids might not know what Juxtapose is. What is Juxtapose?
Juxtapose is just
it's a magazine.
Yeah,
it's an art magazine. Okay.
Yeah. And so I was already a big fan, and then, you know, years and years later, like this whole opportunity came up, and then we painted a mural together.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know about
that. In Hawaii.
That's cool, dude.
And God, you know, his spray paint capability is just like his drawing. I just don't understand it.
Same thing with Dave.
Yeah.
Same thing with Dave. Okay, so we were at a Monchi Show in Minnesota, and it was at a warehouse space, and they had like, they obviously wanted Dave to do something, but Dave was like, no. And then they go, Steve, can you do something? Because Dave's not around. And I've never held a spray can in my life. So I tried to do something, and it looked like a five-year-old did it. And then they go, Dave. And then later on the night, Dave, can you do something? I kid you not, he didn't even spend that much time. He just went, and it looked like have you seen him, the animal chin? One of the Chinese dude with like a rice hat, but it looked like a drawing.
Yeah, I
couldn't. It boggled my. But that's when I realized, like, oh, this is a different level of like skill here.
Yeah, he's a professional.
Do you know? Yeah, I mean, he's. And then I go. And then I was just so curious and jealous at the same time because I had mine look like a 5-year-old did it, and I go, Dave, how did you do that? And he goes, he like just walked away. He goes, can't control.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, can't control, dude. And then he just walked away. So the same thing with Aaron.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, like I'm really new to using spray paint. And, you know, it's really hard. Yeah.
Just hypothesize how long it took Aaron and Dave to learn how to get that good with the spray can. That's a couple years, right?
Yeah, I think anything.
With anything, right?
Yeah.
That would be amazing just to learn, have that down, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm already a couple years in, and I'm not there. So maybe I'm.
Oh, you're messing with it now. You're doing spray can.
Yeah. And I'm terrible at it, but I you know, I just rework the things that I'm screwing up, and you know, it's I'm learning. But
you know what, Dave? He gave me a clue, or like he says I guess it's the cap. He told me he covered with his finger. To make it thinner, he put a finger over the nozzle to make it thinner. So that's something that stuck out. He, like, just, I guess, through time learned that. So, yeah, he told me that. I mean, not like it helped me, but that's what he said. So this is great. How are we doing on time? We doing good, or?
Dude, over an hour.
It's over an hour, dude. We're good.
All right.
I mean, hold up. Before we end, I want to really promote, like, if you have any upcoming shows. We didn't even get into your art shows now, but can we talk about that? Or if you have shows coming up?
I do have a show coming up.
Great. Let's talk about that to the camera. When is it?
All right. May 10th at the Mesa Art Center in Mesa, Arizona.
I might have to go check that out.
Come and check it out.
I could drive from Gilbert, borrow my mom's minivan.
Yeah, so...
Take me 5 minutes to get there, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be a show with... a bunch of new work, a bunch of older work showcased, and a bunch of my skateboards, and a book release, my first book.
Say the date, and how do they get tickets in the website?
It's all free. Just show up. Yeah, it's the Mesa Art Center. May 10th.
May 10th.
And I think, I don't know how long it's up, but I think it'll be up for like at least 2 or 3 months. So
this is great.
Information on
Let's...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and then...
Or check out your Instagram to maybe...
Yeah, okay, yeah. What's your Instagram? Okay, what's your Instagram first and then your website?
Everything is just ESAO. That's for Instagram. That's for .com or .net. It's all ESAO.
ESAO's website is ESAO.net. Simple.
Yeah.
And it has all of his work, guys. It's beautiful stuff. I mean, it's mind-blowing. You're going to get inspired, and it's just good for you. I want to make it to Mesa.
Yeah, come on out.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Did we miss something?
One question, but let's
No. Go ahead, ask your question, Georgie.
I'll throw it to Jason, see if he's
Jason, you got a question? Jason, you've been sitting there quiet the whole time. And you didn't even open your Hansen's...
Oh, my God.
And Jason didn't even open his Hansen's beverage.
Ask anything, dude. Whatever.
Jason? Jason, did you want to ask Esau something?
Him specifically?
Just a question, Jason. You know, we gotta make sure you're home.
Yeah.
You like Frank Frazetta?
Yes.
He's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, he's very cool, and that was one of like the books I checked out of the library like every single time I went back to the library. And rest in peace.
Yeah, George, what's your question?
Do you have any tattoos?
You know, not really. I have a couple.
You do?
I have a couple of these three right here.
Yeah.
And one's a
skull?
Yeah, a skull and crossbones where when Eric Ellington got married, I think 11 of us got this.
That's amazing.
All at the same time.
Wow.
And then,
what tattoo shop? Arizona?
Oh, someplace I think really near here.
True tattoo?
I don't know. It was just some hole in the wall. I think I spent $15
okay,
or something on
cool,
it.
Cool.
And then there's a guy doing a nose wheelie stick figure.
Hell yeah, that's
same,
dope.
I think five or six of us
in
the
like
same
some day
group.
One stuff right there.
And then this other one is a font that says the letter G with
some wavy
lines for the ocean and us. Sun sign, and I got that for when I went on a trip to Guam with a bunch of Gemini
artists?
People. Yeah,
cool.
This guy
cool.
Tristan Eaton, organized it, and it was a really amazing trip. And so, like a dozen of us got that. So I only get tattoos where a lot of other people are getting them at the same time.
Oh, cool.
But those are the only three that I have.
Oh, we got a tattoo together as well, me and George.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I got my brother. I designed this one, and he got...
That's really cool.
And then what'd you get, George?
I got a Grievous Angel.
He got a Grievous Angel. Okay.
Good.
And then direct message George to, so he could explain what a Grievous Angel is. Okay. I love you, man. I love you. So we're good on the commercials?
Well, you wanted to open that, and then we'll...
Yeah, no. I have to do some announcements, and we'll open that, and it's a wrap.
Okay, and then we'll remind people I like to pick up these great products.
Yeah, I love it. Going. Yeah, and then we love Purple Mattress, and we love Blue Chew.
I love. I say Pillow also.
Okay, yeah, we will.
Coming up.
So that wasn't so bad, huh? In your mind, you thought. I mean, this was easy, right?
Yes.
My favorite part was the tattoos. That was amazing. shout out to... We have a Patreon for the show. If you want to support the Stevie Wiebe Show and give life to us, go to patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe. I do a weekly diary vlog or blog audio specifically just for my patrons. And they're usually 15 minutes. And it's only... It's basically another podcast, but only for my patrons.
And you can find out that Steve doesn't even appreciate Bryce and I showing up to his show, but he appreciates other people. Right, Steve?
Okay. Anyway, patreon.com/Stevie Wiebe. Shout out to the two new patrons this week. My man, Johnson Parker and 54C. Shout out to Austin Ramey for checking out some music that I did. You can follow the show on Instagram /QUANGOU. If you want to send anything to the show, we have a P.O. Box. Send stuff to the Stevie Wiebe Show, 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. And speaking of the P.O. Box, we got something in the mail.
That looks nice.
I got to give a shout out to my man, Jared Worldwide in Denver, Colorado. So I have to guess what it is, and you're gonna reveal it.
Okay.
I'm gonna guess it's a sweatshirt. I was gonna say t-shirt, but it seems a little thicker.
So. All right.
Oh, was I right?
He was right.
I was right.
Oh, that's nice.
Whoa, what is it?
Yeah, Curry likes it.
Worldwide Conservation. Fourth Wilderness Congress. I love it.
Put it on.
I will. Oh, my goodness. This is great. Look at this. Conservation. I think it's a champion. Wow, isn't this cool?
Yeah, Kirby likes it too.
Yeah. All right. So are we going to do some more shout-outs to our sponsors?
Just remind people of promo code, Steve.
Okay, so the promo codes. The promo codes for Blue Chew. Blue Chew is BLUECHEW.com. Promo code Stevie, just like the show.
What do you get? You get... First shipment free.
Get your first shipment free when you use a special promo code STEEBEE. Just pay $5 shipping and it's yours, okay? And you'll be bing rock hard. Okay? And then for.
I don't know what.
That's gotta sell. And then for the purple mattress, go to. Purple, right? Is that thing going to be on there?
Text 474747.
Yeah,
text. What do you text to that?
That's Stevie 474747. Again, text STEEBEE 474747. Okay, and then is there in the description? There's the websites on there, right?
Yep, it should be on the description for the audio and the video.
So big ups to Purple Mattresses and Blue Chew Pills.
Ba-boom.
Kaboom. Hey, Esau, thanks, brother. I'm going to try to make it in Mesa. Okay. With that being said, Little Ray's not here this week, but he'll be back shortly.
I heard he dissed you at your show.
Yeah, he did show up.
You got to listen to the Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon exclusive. Yeah, Little Ray did disrespect our set time. We love you guys. Wow.